This is a production of Cornell University.
Hello and welcome to the Cornell Turfgrass Shortcut Podcast, your weekly connection to turfgrass information, brought to you by Cornell University's Turfgrass Program in partnership with the New York State Turfgrass Association. My name is Frank Rossi. I'm an associate professor of turfgrass science at the New York State College of Agricultural and Life Sciences at Cornell University, and the following are observations and recommendations for the week of August 17th, 2009. Well, the summer is here in full force, and the problems we normally see in July are hitting us hard now. The nights are barely providing any relief, with temps staying well into the 70s for most of the region, and this compromises the heat stress tolerance of most of our grasses when daytime temps reach into the 90s. Be thoughtful about your maintenance practices at this time and minimize additional stress from close mowing, overwatering, improper fertilization, or chronic use of growth-regulating fungicides. The sports turf managers are facing preschool practice, and hopefully we'll have the turf preconditioned for the stress they are about to experience. The dry conditions might help some with traffic tolerance. Start checking for grub activity as some early instars are out there. The forecast from the Northeast Climate Center said last week was generally a normal week for this time of year, within 1 degree of normal. Heat stress was high region-wide, though. And again, from a growing degree day perspective, we are generating 20 to 30 degree days per day, and while we are surging, the region is still well behind last year and slightly behind normal. Precipitation was spotty, with as much as 3 to 4 inches in the Buffalo and southern New Jersey areas, and much of the rest of the region were dry, less than a half an inch. ET, with the high solar radiation, is driving evapotranspiration to 1.1 to 1 and a quarter inches for the week. Soil temperatures at the 2-inch level are driving up in the low 80s for highs and in the mid-70s for lows. The forecast for the coming weeks, talking about high pressure to dominate the weather into the midweek. Above normal temps with high humidity will bring significant heat stress to the entire region. High temps expected to persist into the evening hours will create additional stress. Midweek will bring some severe storms that is expected to usher in a cool, wet pattern by late week and beyond. And again, with these conditions, the disease risk will stay high for all of our normal diseases, especially brown patch and pythium. And you can check out all that information at www.nrcc.cornell.edu/grass. Our Cornell Cooperative Extension update begins with Walt Nelson's report from the Finger Lakes. White grub pressure is beginning to build, and Dan Peck, our Cornell turfgrass soil insect ecologist, has confirmed the June beetle colony in western New York. Questions regarding grub control timing relative to the use of merit and potential alternatives in the consumer market are coming in frequently as grub season comes upon us. The Westchester report from Jerry Giordano and Rick Harper. Ample rain has kept lawns green, but high humidity, frequent rains, and warm night temperatures have brought increased calls to the lab in recent days concerning browned out patches in the lawn. Samples submitted have exhibited symptoms consistent with dollar spot and take-all patch. One sample was infested with chinch bugs, though the latter have been rare on samples this year. Vigorous goosegrass was submitted on one turf sample, with an even greater preponderance of other samples of bentgrass that had browned out so completely no evidence of disease seemed readily observable at the edges of the dead area. We continue to get turf samples from lawns where sod was installed on top of soil with little prep except for a thin layer of topsoil placed over existing soil. Calls concerning Microstegium, Japanese stiltgrass, that has become a large part of the lawn, continue to occur. The Long Island report from Tom Kowalsik. Significant heat stress and very little rainfall. Dollar spot and bipolaris leaf spot, especially prevalent on lawn height bentgrass. Kentucky bluegrass ryegrass lawn with major red thread infestation. Animal grubbing damage beginning to become an issue, however, it was not known if there were grubs present. And finally, the report from the Capital District from David Chinnery. Pythium root dysfunction from a golf course with poor growing conditions and samples of brown patch and leaf spots as well as foliar anthracnose on a fine fescue lawn. The sports turf report this week from Joanne Grudadorio dealing with compaction. Coring to alleviate compaction is usually done in the spring when the turf is actively growing or after the fall sports season is over. Aerifying your fields now can be tricky. If there's no play on the fields, you can use hollow tines, but if the fields are being used, you'll have to select a method that is less disruptive to the playing surface. If your soils are too dry and soil temperatures are high, there's a greater likelihood of root damage if you core. So don't core if the soil is too dry or if the turf is stressed out. Using hollow tines will increase air porosity, decrease soil bulk density, increase water movement into the soil. All beneficial to compacted soils. However, a Penn State study found that the potential for annual bluegrass invasion is less when solid tines are used, than when holotides are used. With holotine coring, now more poa seed could be brought up to the soil surface. Are your fields loaded with annual bluegrass? So depending on your overall goal, you will have to decide on the type of coring needed. Also, overseeding sports turf. Use hand rakes or a mechanical scarifier, dethatcher, to remove dead plant material. This exposes the soil and aids better soil seed contact. Seed perennial ryegrass at the rate of 6 pounds per thousand. Bare areas should be slit seeded or core aerated before seeding. Seed left on the soil surface can dry out and fail to germinate. Be sure to provide light watering 3 to 4 times a day to keep the soil moist to encourage seed germination. Do not overwater and do not allow the soil to dry out. To encourage root and rhizome growth, apply 1 pound N per thousand with 30 to 50% of it in slow release form about 2 weeks after seeding or seedling emergence. Begin mowing, of course, with sharp blades when the seedlings reach 2 to 2.5 inches and mow 2 to 3 times a week to encourage growth. The disease diagnostic update this week from Rich Buckley, the Director of Diagnostic Services at Rutgers. The general update is that we are in full-blown basal rot anthracnose times right now, as samples are coming in regularly with diseases the primary issue. It seems continued close mowing and likely suspension of other cultural practices such as top dressing is leading to increased problems with this disease. Additionally, the regular litany of brown patch, summer patch, dollar spot samples continue to stream into the lab from golf, lawn, and sports turf areas. And finally, the intense heat stress brings on the usual anomalies that many consider to be primary problems such as nematodes or pythium root dysfunction. It is rare when these issues are the primary problem with the turf and often are symptoms of greater problems with growing conditions, surface organic matter accumulation, and generally poor turf health that leaves turf with compromised root systems. Work to improve the growing conditions and nurse the plants through this difficult period, and be sure to develop a plan for dealing with the larger issues when temps cool and stress subsides. Gazing in the grass this week from myself, the DMI fungicides and growth regulation. Several research projects conducted in the Southeast have found that DMI fungicides, finerenone, propiconazole, tridimethoin, myclobutanil, cyproconazole, all with the FRAC code 3, will produce significant growth regulation under high temperature and with chronic use. At this time of year, it is best to rotate away from these products and consider chlorothalonil and lipridione or strobilurins or even phosphonates until the heat subsides. In fact, studies have shown that the DMIs will lead to reduced turf density and increases in algal growth. So with steamy weather, we have making it difficult to dry the surfaces, the potential for intense rainfall as fronts move through, the potential for algae, it makes sense to rethink your programs and rotate away from the DMI fungicides. Can you skip pre-emergent crabgrass control? Well, while we are well past where many are thinking about crabgrass control for the season, especially in New York without the availability of quinclorac, it might be time to consider if you've needed every year. If you've been using pre's for more than 10 years, it's possible you've been significantly depleting the crabgrass seed bank that may allow you to skip a year. The thing to keep in mind for next season would be to have dithiopyr in your toolbox should there be a breakthrough that you will need to control young plants and then provide for pre-emergence activity later into the season. This is a true IPM approach where you can assess your pressure and then act accordingly. And finally, commentary on lawn aeration. I'm often asked about the need for core cultivation of lawns. In general, I fear there's little need for routine core cultivation in lawns unless you have a chronic soil problem, and if so, the best approach is to core aggressively to solve this problem. First, compacted soils. If your soils are clay subsoils or simply very compacted, the long-term solution is to strip the lawn and amend the soil with proper compost. Great information is available at the Penn State website, turfgrassmanagement.psu.edu/composts. Holotine cultivation followed by compost top dressing has not been found to be an effective strategy and can lead to increased phosphorus runoff. Solitine cultivation when the soil is slightly dry will aid with soil compaction issues that will provide some soil shattering that will create macro pores in the soil and allow for better water infiltration and some enhanced rooting. This will need to be done every few months during the season to fully realize the benefits. Second, thatch. Holotine cultivation that brings soil cores to the surface can be used to top dress the turf surface and create a mat layer, thatch plus soil, that will more effectively support turf. Excessive thatch accumulation may require more drastic physical removal with coring or dethatching and can all be avoided by not over-fertilizing the turf. Again, this will be needed every few months for a year or so to get this issue under control. Third, overseeding. If the lawn needs some regrassing due to poor turf or weed conditions, then scalping the turf and then holotine coring to bring soil to the surface, then seed into the soil is ideal. And in conclusion, as a routine practice, coring can bring weed seeds to the surface, thereby create more weed pressure. Use coring to solve specific problems, not as a routine practice. Thank you for joining me for the weekly installment of the Cornell Turfgrass Shortcut Podcast, your weekly connection to turfgrass information. I'm Frank Rossi, Associate Professor of Horticulture here at Cornell University, and I hope you have a great week.
This has been a production of Cornell University on the web at cornell.edu.